Hello and welcome to episode 64 of the Panenka View podcast. Now, this is one podcast which we didn't do last night. The Arsenal fans might understand that, and rightly so. But as we all know, the show must go on, and it goes on. We have two very special guests, one who has been on the show before and one who is making his first appearance on the show. We've got Shubham Taranekar, who's already been there, and we've got Ashwin Vij, who has a podcast on his own, by the way, Arsenal Away podcast, with which the link you can see in the description below later on. So Ashwin, let's not waste a single second and let's get your thoughts on that NLD game that happened last night.
Thanks for the introduction, Prasad. It's great to be here. Just want to talk a little bit about my podcast as well. We're a small podcast, obviously not to the size of what Prasad is doing over here. But if you guys are Arsenal fans, please give us a follow. And really appreciate that Prasad has got me on his podcast. So really happy to be here. Talking about the North London Derby, what can I say? Extremely disappointed. It's something Mourinho has constantly done to Arsenal over the past 10 years. Whether it's been with Chelsea, United, any other team that he's actually played us with. He preys on Arsenal making mistakes and him winning the game more than anything else, which is what exactly happened yesterday. After going a goal up, after actually starting very nervously and very shakily, we managed to control the game with that wonderful goal that Lacazette scored, and then it managed to calm the nerves for hardly a minute before Kolasinac made that huge blunder and passed it back for Luis, passed it on the wrong side of Luis actually, which led to Song rounding the keeper and scoring. I've been saying this on the regular podcast, I've been saying this talking to all my friends, saying that Arsenal's own worst enemy is Arsenal itself and nobody else. And there's just no words. Like, this is probably the worst Spurs side in the last 7-8 years. I felt they were a much better unit under Pochettino. They would defend better. They would attack better. They would control the game better. Under Mourinho, obviously, he needs his style of players. He needs to change a few things around. But typical Mourinho performance yesterday. Waited on us, sat back in the second half, defended. And hit us on the counter and got that set piece.
With all the possession that Arsenal had, and you know, there was a moment in the game where the Spurs midfield was non-existent, and that was the time when I think Mikel Arteta should have brought in Bukayo Saka or should have made in that change. That could have probably might have impacted the game better. But as you said, I second that. Sat back, made sure that Arsenal make mistakes and they pounce on it. And that's the way we want it. But Ashwin, let's also get into picture the Brighton game where Mikel Arteta was a bit delayed on his substitutions. These are the small mistakes that he needs to learn and, you know, take it forward, improve forward, isn't it? It's just been like 3 or 4 months since in his tenure.
If there's one thing that we can actually put the blame on Arteta for is probably his substitutions. Over the past few games that we've been winning, obviously you don't look at it there because we're obviously winning games. But the games that we end up losing, you kind of scrutinize him a little more and you think that, you know, he should have got the subs on a little earlier. I can understand where he's coming from. He doesn't have the bench depth at the moment. Bukayo Saka has played a lot of games. He's played probably, he started all the games since the restart. It's been 7 games in the space of 22 days. And it's been a hectic run. The thing is, if you overplay youngsters, we've seen what happened with Wilshere. When we started Wilshere at the age of 18, he played that one season and then went through injury after injury. So overplaying youngsters is not the option. And honestly, a team like Arsenal should not be dependent on an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old to come and save them. We should have players with the capability to be good enough in the game. I know what you mean. The Brighton game, the substitutions were late. Even yesterday, I felt when Joe Willock came on, he had that... He showed a little more, and probably that's down to fatigue because we played a lot of games and it's just been that player fatigue. But in the second half, we controlled the game. Aubameyang should have had 2 goals to himself. He hit the post. We were unlucky. But you know, you can't give chances to teams like Spurs, Chelsea, United, because they'll murder you. You can't give them a second chance.
And especially in situations like set piece. I mean, Mourinho teams bank on set pieces and, you know, bank on opposition mistakes. Well, before we head to Shubham, Ashwin, we knew when Mikel Arteta inherited Arsenal that it's going to be a long road under him. There's a huge transition that needs to happen. And even after the Brighton game, the hopes were gone. But the four wins and the draw against Leicester kind of, you know, restored thought. We thought that we are seeing the blueprint under Mikel Arteta. Where do you see Arsenal finish in the table now, is my question. And where do you see Spurs finish now?
This season's been a complete wipeout for me. Like, there's nothing that we can hope for. At max, we can hope for maybe finishing above Spurs, which is probably 8th right now. I think, yeah, we are 9th and Spurs are 8th in the league. Because we have 3 games remaining. We have Liverpool next. We have Watford and then we have Aston Villa away. Both Watford and Aston Villa are fighting for relegation. So, you saw what happened last night with Bournemouth against Leicester. Leicester were 1-0 up in the first half. Second half, Bournemouth came and beat them 4-1. So, when teams are fighting for their lives, they're fighting for relegation, and in that, they come up with an extra incentive to fight. And see, the thing is, you're right. It is going to take Arsenal time. It took Klopp 5 years to get to where he is and dominate the level. I'm not saying Arsenal will get to that level, but I'm saying it's going to take some time. Arteta's come in a season where we've been absolutely, absolutely rubbish. I didn't like Unai Emery setup at all. I was absolutely against Unai Emery. And I think he's come to a club where we were slowly drowning, not only into a mid-table team, but becoming a very, very poor team. I think when Arteta took us over, we were 14th or 15th in the league. And you have to understand, he's not had a full season. While he's come, there has been a 3-month gap with COVID. So it's going to take some time. It's also going to, you have to understand, a person like Arteta is going to need his own players. So the board have to back him. Now, I don't know how that happens. Either we sell players, we make money and we buy new players, or if the board backs them like they spent last year for Unai Emery. But they have to, because we've seen the blueprint. We've seen players like Kolasinac, like Luis, like Mustafi improve under him. Even someone like Xhaka, who at the start of the season you would have probably thought that by Jan you'd have been sold because of what happened this season. But you've seen improvements. People like Ceballos and all, who we thought were not going to do anything at all. You've seen certain improvements that Arteta has brought in them. It's just that if we give him the sort of players that he needs, we will be a better team maybe next year or the year after.
Correct. The three important things that you said, you know, you have the board has to back him. He needs his own players to implement his philosophy. He's done well with the personnel he has. He's tried to, you know, fix the defense first and, you know, then take it forward. And I can see better days, but there is a big if. That is that the board back him. Well, let's get Shubham in here. And Shubham, let's talk about, you know, it's been a mixed couple of weeks with the 3-0 loss to Sheffield, but beating Watford. And, you know, then again, a loss to West Ham before. How has the week been for Chelsea?
I think I would say about the sponsors first. You see, in 2016, when we had Yokohama coming in, we finished 10th in that season. We lost the very first home game as champions. And then again, you see the very first game with 3 as the sponsors. We lost the game 3-2. Then we won against Watford 3-0. And then again, we lose to Sheffield 3-0. So it's been pretty tough, and you see the games which we played against West Ham. The defense was pathetic. Christensen, Rudiger, the center backs. We as Chelsea fans, we don't know which 2 center backs are going to start. We don't know whether it's going to be Christensen or Rudiger, or whether it's going to be Tomori or Zuma. It's been that inconsistent. In some games, Alonso starts at left back and then he underperforms and then he's benched again. Aspilicueta is at the left back, and then we see the fullbacks are not working. The Chelsea's defense under Lampard doesn't look good. Also, if you compare the same defense that Chelsea is having, the same players work well under Sarri. If you see Rudiger under Sarri and under Conte, he was much better. He was much more impactful as compared to Rudiger under Lampard. When the season started, you see Rudiger, we Chelsea fans were expecting Rudiger to be back soon because he was probably one of the best defenders. But right now, if you ask any of the Chelsea fans, he's probably number 4 defender in the Chelsea order. So the defense has been pathetic for Chelsea. Also, The signings, the only positive things have been the signings for Chelsea. Timo Werner, we backed Timo Werner. He was supposed to go to Liverpool, but we got him. We have got Hakim Ziyech already, and there are strong links with Havertz, and I feel we are going to sign him as well. So coming back to the game, Sheffield, I guess that day in that game, Sheffield were just better than us. They outplayed us, and our forwards didn't work, Pulisic didn't work. The defense was very bad, and that's it. Right now, I just hope that it is going to be Leicester that is going to help us to get into the top four. It's not down to us, probably.
You know, true that. I think Leicester, like you said in your tweets as well, that might be a team that might drop out of the top four and make way for United and Chelsea there in that make way for United. But Shubham, let's have you still keep you still on board and ask you the defense that you pointed out. Now that you'll have a good reinforcement in the attack, you have a very good front three, you have a very good midfield. How are the transfer rumors on the defense looking at? Like,
I think the first thing we are obviously looking for is a left back, which there are three players linked: Tagliafico, Ben Chilwell, and the third one being Alex Telles. I think there's a clear winner. The stats speak all. It's going to be Tagliafico. And I think the club is going to get Tagliafico ahead of Chilwell. Because going for 60, 70 million for Chilwell and a player who is coming from, who has a Champions League experience, who has played in the Dutch League, is probably one of the best defenders in Tagliafico. He's coming at close to 20, 25 million pounds. And he has better defensive stats, much better defensive stats. He has played with Ziyech. They both will have a good link-up play. So I think left back should be first thing that Chelsea should be looking for, because since Ashley Cole has left in 2013, we have missed that position. We have tried Baba Rahman. He has been on loan for like 2-3 seasons. Then Felipe Luis came in. He didn't work out. Azpilicueta shift as a left back. Then we had Marcos Alonso, Emerson. Emerson was fantastic at the start of the season. But since the injury to the Liverpool game, and then again he played back in the Arsenal game, the Arsenal away game. And then he was subbed off at halftime. And since then, he hasn't looked coming back in the team. So Emerson is going to leave. Alonso would probably stay as a backup. So I would say left back should be the first priority, and after that should be a centre back. Rather than just going for Havertz, the club should focus more on a left back and a centre back, and then maybe Havertz should be a signing that Chelsea should consider, and then I would say our squad would be complete for next season.
Well, very well added there, Ashwin. So yeah, North London Blues, North London Derby Blues for Arsenal. But I would say that even before Arteta took over, and when there were rumors that he was going to take over, I was of the view that it's going to be a game at a time. We were failing to, you know, shut out games. We were failing to win games. We were failing to grab on to those 1-0 leads and conceding at the end. And there have been, I think the majority number of draws are with Arsenal, 14, if I'm not wrong. So we can only hope that, you know, he gets the backing from the board and he goes back. And so with Chelsea fans, the defense needs to be fixed. I can see a lot of vocal fans on Twitter saying that. So Ashwin, let's get your thoughts on the third team that we are going to speak after the lockdown, that has been consistent with the addition of Bruno Fernandes. They have won every game after the lockdown, except for the Spurs one, if I'm not mistaken. And riding currently very high on confidence, Mason Greenwood doing so well, Anthony Martial, Marcus Rashford. They're getting into the Champions League, aren't they?
As much as I hate to say this, I mean, United and Arsenal always had that rivalry. United have been on splendid form since the lockdown has opened. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer looks like he's finally found the right formation. He's finally found the right balance in the squad. With Pogba and Bruno coming in together, that midfield looks amazing. That the two of them look like they can provide balls from anywhere. Matic is looking like a different player. Mason Greenwood on the right, Martial through the middle, and even Rashford on the left. They all look like they're combining really well. It's a complete contrast to what United were pre-lockdown. And post-lockdown, they seem to have found that formula. I remember, I watch a lot of United fan blogs because it gives me joy to watch when they suffer. I mean, I think every fan does that. They watch rival fans. And I know so many of them who were against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and they wanted him out. But things have turned around. They are the form team. They possibly picked up, like you mentioned, they won every game except this first game. and they are the team to beat. Like, if tonight, if mostly they should win the game today, that takes them to third place. It kicks Leicester out to fifth and puts Chelsea to fourth. Yeah. So, they are the form team. As much as I hate them, you have to give it up to them. You have to appreciate what they've done. You have to appreciate what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has done. He's found himself the right sort of balance. He's found the team that works for him. He's finding consistency and he's managing to win games.
Correct. Not only has he made good out of Greenwood, he's promoted Greenwood and he's done a fabulous job. He's also put in Paul Pogba. Nemanja Matic, you can see, has found a renewed vigor in him, and he's the center of all the play. Because of him, we always have been discussing that Pogba and Bruno might be a little bit lack a bit defensive work, but Matic makes up for that in the midfield. But yeah, as you said, they are most likely looking forward to a Champions League finish, and there's nothing anyone can do, and that you can only say kudos to Ole. Shubham, you've been very vocal about Leicester dropping out of the Champions League places. What has gone wrong for them?
I think the injuries to James Maddison has been one of the vital facts, because since the FA Cup game against Chelsea, they lost. Which they lost 1-0. It's been since that James Maddison hasn't been part of Leicester. Since that, I don't think the formation is clicking for Leicester. You see, they are missing Maddison. They are not getting that click. Ricardo Pereira is out. They have got a new right back in Justice. The defense looks shaky, and they are making a lot of mistakes, more mistakes. So you see, also the pressure of finishing in the top four, plus United winning the games. And post-lockdown, maybe it is also a psychological advantage that other teams have got. Leicester couldn't cope up with that. It was a huge break for 4 months. A lot of things are there. So, looking at current performances, especially the yesterday's game, they have lost Soyuncu, so he won't be playing for the next 2-3 games. So considering that, their defense would look very shaky in the next games. And the next 3 games of Leicester are Sheffield United, Tottenham Hotspur, and on the final day, they are playing Manchester United. So, you see, realistically speaking, I don't think they are going to win any of the 3 games. So, max they could end up is like 5 point max. So, I think if Chelsea win against Norwich, and even if we lose against Liverpool and draw against Wolves on the final day, Chelsea should get the 4th spot, and I expect United to win all 3 games, because they have just been sublime and they are not going to lose to Southampton. I know a lot of fans are thinking that Chelsea lost, Leicester lost, and United will also stumble. So that's not going to happen. United will win the game. United will in fact win all their games, because they are then playing Crystal Palace, then West Ham United, who are fighting for relegation, and then on the final day, Leicester. So whatever happens, worst case, Leicester... For Chelsea, from a Chelsea perspective, Leicester are going to play United on the final day. So, whatever happens, one of them is going to take points from the other. So, I think Chelsea will get the 4th spot and United probably the 3rd one.
Correct. So that's Leicester there, guys. And we've spoken about Chelsea, we've spoken about Arsenal and Spurs. And Shubham, thank you for that. Ashwin, getting back to you. I don't want to be talking about Manchester City's games. They thumped the champions 4-0 after that guard of honour, then lost to Southampton 1-0, then blew away Newcastle 5-0. I know there's some finishing problem in that side with Aguero out, and they will open that checkbook again. That's where I want to direct you, is the FFP verdict that came out, and the ban that was overturned, and the fine was reduced by 10 million. Let's have your thoughts on that, by the way.
I mean, it's ridiculous. If there are loopholes in a system, you don't want to be part of that system. Arsenal have been trying all through since the financial fair play has been introduced to run things properly. But if you've got loopholes and you're being corrupt and you're bending the rules according to your way and not being punished for it, then there's absolutely nothing that you can do. It just makes a mockery out of the whole system when they said that they're going to be banned for 2 years and that ban has not been upheld, and they've just got a 10 million euro fine. It's like pocket change for the sheikh. Man City must be laughing. They've figured out that they've got a loophole. I'm sure other teams are now going to figure out that loophole as well, and they're going to exploit it. FFP was supposed to be brought in to help the smaller teams compete against the larger teams. This just proves that basically that the game is not there for the smaller team anymore. It's disappointing. There's nothing that can be done about it. City are going to be in the Champions League. They are going to spend money because Pep has lost his perch on top of, he's lost his position on top of the perch. So he is going to spend that money. You know he will. You know Spurs will. Liverpool will spend because they have to compete now. You know Chelsea have already started spending. They've done really well. They're backing the manager. You know United will always spend. Spurs will spend now under Mourinho. So Arsenal have to live with that, right? If they don't, they're going to just get left behind.
Good thoughts there, Shubham. With what Ashwin added, with the FFP going out of the window now, the FFP thing going out of the window, do you see City spending big? And are there any rumors that you've heard of players coming to City, especially now that Lionel Messi is running out of his contract at Barcelona?
He might
sign a contract at Barcelona, but have you seen such rumors on Twitter?
So before Chelsea signed Timo Werner, there were rumors that Man City were the closest to get him after Liverpool. So this was one signing that Guardiola wanted, considering Aguero is already in his early 30s, he'll be leaving the club. So Timo Werner was the one they were looking because he's been a sublime striker in the Bundesliga. So obviously Chelsea got him. And then the second thing was, does the ban stay or not? And if the ban stays, then the questions were on Kevin De Bruyne, whether he stays or not. Then there was Sané, who has already left for Bayern Munich. So Kevin De Bruyne, in a recent interview, there was some report that said that even if the ban is not upheld, Kevin De Bruyne would like to stay with City for the next two seasons. But now, considering the ban is upheld, he is going to stay. He's going to probably, for the next two, three seasons, he's going to be there. Sterling is there. They're going to promote Phil Foden. And a couple of signings would be, I would say, a centre-back. This is what they would be needing. They have been even linked with Ben Chilwell, left-back, although I don't know why they need it. They have a fantastic left-back in Benjamin Mendy. So centre-back would be a priority for them. And then probably a midfielder. I think their team looks good on paper. That's it.
Ashwin, would you like to add something here?
Yeah, I think the one player that City I've seen being linked with is Napoli's Koulibaly. Shubham's right about them needing a centre-back, and they desperately need one. So I think the closest whoever's been linked with, I know everybody's been linked with him, from United, Chelsea, Liverpool, okay. Everybody's been linked with Koulibaly, but I think he's on his way to Man City because there were rumours that he's very, very close to joining them.
Well, guys, thank you for your thoughts, and this has been a fantastic episode, especially we need to get over that loss, Ashwin. I'm sure we can. We play Liverpool next and City in the cup next. So I hope we live with that. I hope that gets out of our way soon. And I know it's a long process, but Ashwin, thank you so much for joining us on such a short notice. Shubham, thank you so much for joining us on short notice. Before we go, and the title's already been decided, but let's have your predictions on the top four predictions and your relegation predictions. Shubham, you can go first.
I think obviously Liverpool 1, Man City 2. I hate to say that, but United are going to finish above us. We, with the three as the sponsors, are going to finish fourth. And Leicester is going to back the fifth spot. And I have a slight feeling that the sixth spot might just be taken by Sheffield United. This is what I think. And then Spurs, Wolves, Spurs and Arsenal. That's how it is for me. And relegation, obviously, I think Norwich is already relegated and the other team is going to be Aston Villa, and it's going to be down to, for the third spot, it's going to be down to Watford, West Ham and Bournemouth. So Bournemouth are at 31. Watford play West Ham this week. So that's going to be a crucial game. So I think the third spot will be taken by Bournemouth. So this would be the three relegated teams, Bournemouth, Aston Villa and Norwich.
All right. Ashwin, let's get your thoughts then. Your prediction.
Liverpool champions, City second. I don't think anybody touched them. I think the way United are going, I think United will definitely finish third because it's in their hand. Have a sneaky feeling Leicester might push out Chelsea for the fourth spot and Chelsea might get fifth because the way... I mean, Lampard's had a good season, but he's been very shaky defensively. He's tried to play that expansive football. Like, I love watching Chelsea play because they play a fantastic free-flowing football under Lampard, but they're very, very leaky defensively. They're like an Arsenal side of 5 years or 6 years ago. So I have a feeling Leicester might just push them out to pip them to fourth spot. So Chelsea finish fifth. I can see Wolves finishing sixth, Spurs seventh, Sheffield 8 and Arsenal 9. I don't think we're going to move up. Relegation, yeah, Norwich is already relegated. I think Aston Villa and probably, I think Bournemouth might join them. But unless we beat Watford at Vicarage Road, which I think we're playing them at Vicarage Road. Yeah, we are.
No, if sorry, beat, Ashwin, it's yeah, it's Emirates. If you remember, it was 2-2 at Vicarage Road, leading 2-0 and then throwing away that lead. Yeah, so it's at the Emirates.
So if we can beat Watford at the Emirates, then Watford might be in trouble. But I think Bournemouth might be the third team to go down. It's between Bournemouth and Watford.
Great. So this has
Ashwin.
Yeah.
Ashwin, yeah. By the way, you said Leicester going to pip Chelsea for the fourth spot. So which game do you think Leicester are going to win? Sheffield, they have Sheffield, they have Spurs and they have United on the final game. They have to win at least one.
They'll beat Spurs and they'll draw with United.
They'll draw with United on the final day. Maybe if United is already in the top four by the final day, they might not give the 100%. So that would be a case.
You never know. But I have a feeling Leicester might come back. Because the thing is, Chelsea's dip in form has come at a wrong time. Because the game against Crystal Palace... Chelsea should have lost that game. Like, how you all clung on, I don't know.
So very good thoughts there. I don't know what happens there, but we definitely come back to this episode and we see these predictions that are there. It's always good to have differences. And what you all think? Thank you so much, guys, for joining us on the short notice. If you're listening to this, do follow Ashwin's podcast, The Arsenal Away. The Arsenal fans that are, I'm going to be circulating that link. You can also check out in the description below. Thank you, Shubham, for joining us on a short notice. Until the next time, like I always say, this is your host, Prasad, signing out with Ashwin and Shubham on this episode of the Pan & Cup podcast.